Let's all stand, if you will. Glad to be out tonight. Amen. Nasty outside, but glorious in His presence. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do truly appreciate You. And Lord, all Your goodness and mercy. Father, when I think about all You've done for us, Lord, it just goes beyond, Lord, us being able to understand. Lord, why did You think of me? Lord, it's Your grace and Your mercy. I'm so thankful, Lord. Pray, Lord, that You would just come down amongst us, Lord, tonight. And just bless us, each and every one, Lord, that's gathered. Lord, as we walk this life, Father, I know there's trials and tests. And Lord, Satan's always going about as a roaring lion seeking to devour. Lord, strengthen us. You know what we need. Lord, that's why we come, to draw strength and to gain revelation from You. Bless us now, I pray. May Your will be done in everything. We ask this in Your precious name, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise His name. Do you love Him? He's so wonderful. You may be seated. I'd like to turn to our capstone books. Praise His name. Page 78. Camping in Canaan's land. Amen.
I have left the land of bondage with its earthly treasures. I've journeyed to a place where there is love on every hand. I've exchanged a land of heartaches for a land of pleasure. I'm camping in Canaan's happy land. Oh, every day I'm camping in the land of Canaan, and with rapture I survey its wondrous beauty grand. Glory, hallelujah, I've found the land of promise. I'm camping, amen, Canaan's happy land. Oh, out of Egypt I have traveled through the darkness dreary, far over hills and valleys and across desert sand. I've landed safe at home where I shall not grow weary. Oh, what a day. Amen. I'm camping in Canaan's happy land. Oh, I'm camping in the land of Canaan, and with rapture I survey its wondrous beauty grand. Glory, hallelujah, I've found the land of promise. I'm camping in Canaan's happy land. Yes, I've reached the land of promise with its scenes of glory. My journey ended in a place so lovely and so grand. I've been led by Jesus to the blessed land of story. I'm camping, oh, hallelujah. Amen. Oh, every day I'm camping in the land of Canaan, and with rapture I survey its wondrous beauty grand. Glory, hallelujah, I've found the land of promise. I'm camping in Canaan's happy land.
Amen. Camping in Canaan's promised land. Amen. Page 94. Let's turn over there. I believe He's coming back. Amen. Coming soon, saints.
Some people from the Lord are running. They say that He's not coming, but they don't understand what the Word said of the Some believe it's just a fable, but I know the Lord is able to fulfill the word. He could come back today, and I believe he's coming back like he said. I believe that a voice is gonna sound so loud one day, awake the dead. In a twinkling of an eye, he's gonna split those eastern skies, and I believe he's coming back like he said. Now we know the time is nearing when we'll soon see his appearing. This could be the hour, yes, this could be the day, when the saints from every nation is gonna lose their gravitation in the twinkling of an eye. Oh, think about it. Amen. And I believe he's coming back like he said. Oh, I believe that a voice is gonna sound so loud one day to wake the dead. In the twinkling of an eye, he's gonna split those eastern skies, and I believe he's coming back like he said.
Amen. He's coming back for us, saints. Praise his name. Page 14, little course there. Marriage of the Lamb has come. Amen. The marriage of the Lamb has come, the marriage of the Lamb has come. The marriage of the Lamb has come, the marriage of the Lamb has come. Don't you mind temptation, persecution, tribulation, they will all turn to victory, victory unto glory, glory, hallelujah. The marriage of the Lamb has come, the marriage of the Lamb, amen. The marriage of the Lamb has come, the marriage of the Lamb has come. The marriage of the Lamb has come, the marriage of the Lamb has come. Don't you mind temptation, persecution, tribulation, they will all turn to victory, victory unto glory, glory, hallelujah, amen. Has come, the marriage of the Lamb has come. Amen. All what we have to look forward to, saints. Praise his holy name. Love him so much. Brother Hamilton, you like to come up for the offering? Praise his name. Best blessing you will.
So thankful for what you bless this offering for the finger.
Amen. Little course on page 30. Amen. Where will you be? Amen. Where will you be when that last trumpet sounds? Where will you be when it sounds so loud? Gonna sound so loud. Gonna wake up the dead. Tell me where. Sound. Think about it. Where will you be when it sounds so loud? Gonna sound so loud. Gonna wake up the dead. Tell me where will you be when it sounds. something to think about, saints. Now, amen. Where would you be? Praise his name. How many have something on your heart, a need, a request? Amen. Brother Pitts, would you take the requests?
Heavenly Father, we come to you this evening, knowing that by the uplifted hands that we are unable to do.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
So we come to you, Lord, asking if you would answer every uplifted hand and those that didn't raise their hands, Lord. We all got something on our hearts. So we ask for that, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Amen. You may be seated. Somebody have a special song or something on your heart? Amen. Praise his name. All right. Well, let's stand then, if you will. Amen. Sing low chorus, only believe. Ask our brother to come.
Yes,
only believe.
Thankful for the opportunity to be out. No, we didn't have a special. I was just wondering if we could sing that little chorus, "For He is Lord."
Yes.
Amen. Amen. For He is Lord. Yes, He is Lord. He has risen from the dead. Lord, we truly bow our hearts and our heads before you tonight, Lord, and just thank you for your mercy and your grace to us.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, for the very desire that's brought us here this evening to gather around your precious word. And Lord, to truly come with a hungry heart, Lord, just saying, dip a portion of these precious scriptures. Let them be a little more real. Let them enlighten them to us, Lord. Any man or woman can just read these scriptures, Lord. But Father, let it become a reality to us in a greater measure. The Lord, through your precious hearing of your word and the foolishness of preaching, the Lord, we would draw closer unto you. We thank you for your word. We ask your blessings upon it. And Lord, we commit the rest of this service into your hands. And me, Lord, to the bringing of your precious word this evening, that Lord, nothing would be said but exactly what you would have said. And we ask it to your glory and honor. In the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Oh, he's so wonderful. Amen. While you're standing, if you would, we'll turn our Bibles over to the book of John, and then you can be read a verse of Scripture, and you can be seated. Just a little exhortation this evening, and I'm going to read many familiar Scriptures, but just praying that God has a purpose for it. God's Word's inspired, and I know I never get tired of hearing it. Amen. And each time you read it and dwell on it, and if you think about the things our pastor's been bringing and the Word, and just keep it fresh in your hearts, I think you'll get a little something from it this evening. Amen. But here in John, the first chapter and the first verse. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same was in the beginning with God. And the verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. May the Lord bless His Word, and you may be seated.
Amen.
Excuse me just a minute. Amen. A very familiar Scripture, but a very powerful Scripture. If you stop and dwell on it, and you know, we'll just go ahead and put this in our hearts. If you want to turn with me to the book of Matthew, and just a verse of Scripture here in the 24th chapter. Amen. Yes. Thinking of these things that our Lord spoke, and just realizing, you know, the scribes and the Pharisees, I want you to think about that. How much they read and studied the scrolls and the Word that had been written up to that point. They could quote it, they could read it, they could tell you all about it. But the very Word made flesh among them and in front of their very eyes, and they missed it.
Yes.
Because it wasn't revealed to them. And all in the day in which we're living, I pray, Lord, don't let me be so blind that I would fail to see what You are doing.
Yes,
and what You've provided for a little bride.
Mm-hmm.
Matthew 24 and that 35th verse, heavens and earth shall pass away, but My words shall not pass away.
Amen.
And all, if you think about it a little bit, you know, we had a funeral there yesterday, and listening to what our brother brought and just thinking about, even there, I want you to think about that. God's Word was coming to pass.
Yes, it was.
A man's life come and gone. Life is like a vapor. A man is as the grass. He groweth and he withereth and fadeth away. God's Word goes forth and it does not go out void. And it goes out with purpose and what He says it's going to be. Just precisely the way that it went forth. And, you know, it's such a time where we've got to where people just want to compare. You know, I think about sometimes even when we quote the prophet. And we quote him and he said, and he said, and he said. Brother Branham said, Brother Branham said, and that's wonderful. It was Brother Branham's voice. But the same as when we read these scriptures, it was the Lord speaking. It was God. In the beginning was the Word. And as we just renew our minds to these scriptures, think about that, of just how much God was talking to you and I as individuals.
Yes, amen.
And with that, I'm going to go ahead and turn over to, let's go back over to John. And we'll catch this 26th verse, or the 14th chapter of John, I'm sorry. Let's just go to John 14. Our pastor read some of this. I just want to catch this to put this in here with that. Realizing in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us.
Yes.
Thinking here what Jesus is saying, just to refresh our minds. I know we've heard it, but just let it just kind of roll in there. But here in the 14th chapter, and let's just read this 18th verse, or we'll grab the 17th verse. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world can't receive, because it seeth Him not, and neither knoweth Him, but ye know Him. For He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, but I will come to you. And that 26th verse, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in My name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. And so thinking about these words Jesus is speaking, I'd like to turn over to 1 Peter and read something Peter said here. Amen. And just praying this will all gel together in our hearts. As I was studying and these things were coming to me, you get going down so many avenues and different things. And Lord, we can't We can only take a little portion, so let's just take a little bit for tonight to stir our hearts. But here in 2 Peter, in the first chapter, and we'll just start here, just to catch what he was saying, we'll start about the 12th verse. And he says, "Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them and be established in the present truth." You know, and sometimes we might get a little irritated because we keep being reminded of so many things in God's Word. But that's what we've been sent here for. God delivered a message, and that same message is still going out. And you know, when I was thinking of that, it don't matter how much you've heard and how much you've said in church, and it don't matter how faithful you've been doing everything that a Christian ought to do. If you have not taken the original prescription that was handed down in the book of Acts in 2:38 and received the baptism of the Holy Ghost and been born again, it's all for naught. I don't care how much you can tell me about the front chapter and how much you can tell me about the last chapter, but if your life won't back up that the vindication of the Holy Spirit is in you, bearing forth a life, it's for nothing. It don't matter how much we know. And that's why Peter here, he was saying, "I won't be negligent. You make sure you remember these things." The Holy Spirit said he'd bring all things to our remembrance. There's a reason for it, saints. Hallelujah. May we never forget where we've come from, what he's done for us, and where he's taking us to. And in every phase, never forget. You know, I was thinking as our pastor, just real quick, he read about the rich young ruler at this funeral. Just a lot of things on my heart. You have to bear with me. It might be more of a shotgun message. But I was just thinking, you know, in that scripture, Jesus, when he saw that young man, the scripture says he looked upon him and looked in his heart and he knew. Yes. And he loved him. Mm-hmm. A compassion. Yes. A reaching out to him. Yes. And you know, I can't help but to feel that greater as time goes on. When you sit through a funeral service, or maybe you're with a group of people that don't know what it means to have peace in their heart. They don't know what it is to have true joy. They don't know what it is to lay down on their bed at night with peace and be able to just say, "Thank you, Lord, for another day. And if I rise tomorrow, I'll give you the grace and the glory for it. But if not, Lord, you know what's best for me." But you know, how we should never lose our compassion for others. Amen. And sometimes it's easy. It's easy as human nature to cast judgment so quick. And it's tough. I'm not saying it's easy, but it takes the Holy Spirit to put that in our hearts in the right manner for our fellow man.
Yes. Amen.
This whole country is built upon racism and hating one another and pushing down this one to get a leg up on this one. It's the human race, the world around us, the cosmos. That's the striving force that's there.
Yes.
But Christ was everything's totally opposite of all of that. Mm-hmm. And how our lives truly should be that way.
Yes.
That it doesn't matter who my shoulders rub up against. Mm-hmm. They can truly feel a warm, welcoming spirit coming from me to them. Don't mean I like their sin. It doesn't mean I want to be partaker of their sin and I'm not supporting what they're doing. But having a love in my heart that if some way, some action that my life would declare Jesus Christ, not my mouth, but my actions would declare that he's living. And they can feel that same sweet spirit coming from me, that something would draw them to what we have. Oh, saints, there's a reality to the word being made manifest in this hour. And I think if you start what our pastor has been bringing, God expressed today. Amen. And who? You and me. Amen. Let that really sink into your heart. But Peter goes on here to say, "Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them and be established in the present truth. But yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.' And this voice which came from heaven we heard, and we were with him in the holy mount. And we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And oh my, who was that God in spirit form, leading the men to say those things that were recorded? Who was leading Peter to record what was just wrote, what we read? So I want you to think about that. Think about all that the prophet brought in showing us what was being manifested and vindicated. And you know, many come along behind and may try to take away from what God spoke by taking a teaching down this road, taking a teaching down that lane, and reaching out this way with something, and truly going away from what was brought.
Yes.
And why I see it this way, and I see it that way. And there's many things. You could go on for a list, you know. Just as our brother, we were talking out in the vestibule, where they want to do away with Ephesians 4. There's no ministry today. You can take they just little things all over, but nevertheless, God recorded Ephesians 4 right in this book. And that's what I'm trying to say. God's word will never pass away. This earth's going to go. I'm going to go. Lord, if this body's going to go one of these days, if the Lord should tarry or not. And it's going to happen. This word's going to be fulfilled. And I want you to think about it as Brother Branham put it this way. And this is in the authority of the word. And this was preached June 2nd of 1953, verse 4. He says, now notice, in his own line of work, he was referencing back to Matthew, the 8th chapter, where the centurion had come to Jesus wanting to have his servant healed. So that's who he's talking about. He says, now notice, in his own line of work, he saw who Jesus was. And he said, I know that if I say to this man, go, he goeth. And to this man, come, he cometh now. And Lord, I'm not worthy for you to come under my roof, but just speak the word. There you are, the authority. He knew that Jesus had all power over all sickness and all disease, over death and hell. And he knew that all Jesus had to say was speak the word, and that settles it. And Jesus was willing to come in and lay his hands on the boy and rebuke the fever. And so it astonished him. And he said, why, I have not seen so much faith, not in all of Israel. That was the believers. He had never seen faith among them. Just to know that his word, it was a power of testament, his power of authority. Christian friend tonight, his word is the power of authority.
Yes,
what he says, it will be. Mm-hmm. Regardless of what you or I think, it's going to be just the same.
Sure.
And oh, if we could just but grasp that in a reality, that what he said, mm-hmm. There's no other way, there's no other channel, this is it. God's word is laying before us.
Yeah.
And all. It doesn't matter who shakes a bush and says it's this way. It don't matter who shakes a bush and says it's that way. God's going right down the middle of the path.
Yes, right.
He spake that in those days. He spoke that these days would be here. Someone said, are you praying for this or that? What are we going to do about all this immortality of the world? I said, it's got to be. There's nothing I can do about it. God said it would be this way. And just like it was in Sodom and Gomorrah, so it would be.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can't do nothing about it. You can only preach the gospel and let those who will come. And no man can come unless God draws him. So it is all belongs to God.
Yeah.
And if God has called you and give you a call to come to him, you should be very, very happy.
Yes,
and I want you to think about that. All this taking place around us. God didn't lose control. His word told us it was going to be exactly the way it is today. My God is fulfilling his word that was spoken, went forth.
Yes.
It's coming to pass. It's being manifested. Absolutely. And we're seeing it made come a reality. And how it ought to strike our hearts to know that if that's taking place, how soon and quick is that rapture fixing to go?
Amen.
And are we really, really ready? Are we standing there knowing as we sing that little song, where will you be when that last trumpet sounds? Are we looking for it? Are we loving his appearing? Are we longing for that?
Hallelujah.
Is it on our hearts? Is it in our minds?
Praise
Or are we just content to go through life going to church and packing a prophet's message and carrying a Bible and saying, I'm a Christian, I'm a believer? But oh, what about the power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit in a brother or sister's life to express Jesus Christ to this nation and to this people, that every action would declare Him? Yes, the prophet's every action declared Christ. He had a work to do as a prophet. I don't have the same work to do that he did, but Jesus sent me here to be a husband, to be a father. I know that because I'm each one of those things already. He's permitted it. And through that, my life and what he has allowed me to live, he is expressing that I can come under obedience to God's precious word, and my life reflect back into this word. And each one of those, whatever I'm sent here to, whatever I partake of in this life, is working to his glory and to his honor. Allowing my life to be an expression, your expression. Look at us, God's word being fulfilled. Look at the different ages we are in here. Some of us are young, some of us are old, some of us are fading away. Some of us we're midways, and we can already begin to see, wow, that really went really fast. What about the rest of the time I have? Maybe some of us are a little bit older, but nevertheless, we're in God's plan. We're moving right the way he set us up to be. And he's given each one of us allotted time and allotted position to allow our lives to be his reflection. Yes. And can I truly look into God's precious word and truly just with a great joy say, Lord, I appreciate that I can see I've been an overcomer. Not by my works, not by my merits, but Lord, by what I've seen you do with the Holy Spirit in my life. Yes. For remember, Jesus said in Romans, the 8th chapter, the 11th verse, if the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, it will quicken your mortal bodies. To just do jumping and running and carrying on? No, to every word of God that's been spoken. This is in the message, the Ephesian church age. And this is, it's in chapter 3. I didn't write down the verse. But just to catch what he's saying, he says, to him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise. What a thrilling thought this is, that the tree of life in the garden. Let me drop down. God's intention for his creation, man, is to express his words. In Genesis, Adam was given the word to live by. And just catch this little word here. Sometimes when we're reading the context of what he's talking about, maybe we just hop over it. But a life lived by the word would be the word expressed. That is true, is it not? But did Adam live by that word? No, because he was to live by every word, and he failed to take heed to every word. And then there arose Moses, what a great and mighty man he was, yet he also failed to live by every word. And that prophet, the type of the great prophets to come, failed in anger to obey the word. There was also David, the great king of Israel, man after God's own heart. He fell by adultery when he was tempted. But eventually, in the fullness of time, there came one, the head, even Jesus, who also must be tempted to see if he would live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And then was Satan full. For here was one who lived by it is written. And that masterpiece of God overcame by reflecting God's word. Then was this manifested perfect one given to the cross. As a perfect Lamb of God for the perfect sacrifice on the tree, he received the wounds unto death that we by him and because of him might eat of the tree of life. And then that life freely given would enable us to overcome and express the word of God. Now see, to these sons of God who by him overcome are given the privilege of the paradise of God and the constant fellowship of Jesus Christ. There will never more be any separation from him. Whither he goes, his bride will go. What is his, he shares with his beloved on a joint heir relationship. The secret things will be revealed, the dark things will be made plain, and we shall know as we are known, and we shall be like him. This is the heritage of the overcomer who has overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony to Jesus Christ. How we long for that day when the crooked roads will be all straightened and we will be with him in time without end. May that day hasten its appearance. And may we hasten to obey his word and thereby prove our worthiness to share his glory. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. How tragic it is that the first age did not listen to the Spirit. Instead, it listened to man. But thank God in the last age there will be a group rise up. The true bride of the last day. And she will listen to the Spirit. And in that day of gross darkness, the light will return by the pure word. Yes. And we will return to the power of Pentecost to welcome back the Lord Jesus Christ. And saints, we've walked a... When you look at the roads we've traveled in life to get to where we are today, God has allowed every situation and every obstacle that's come along, preparing a people for this last few short work that he will do whatever he sees fit. And it's not just us. Wherever that little bride is all over this earth, he has been preparing her. He knew what it would take to bring each of us to that position, to where we would get so in tune that we would tune out all of the voices of the today and truly focus our voice to God and his precious word. And truly only lean upon the word that's been given and and praying for revelation that God would reveal it. Not that I have to go through life with a hope of, well, I think that's what the word meant. I think that's what I'm supposed to be. But no, God give an unction down on the inside that when that word comes forth, there's something down on the inside that can't help but say, amen, that's the truth. Yes. And you can always tell by God's mercy and grace, not of works or what anything we've done. But when there is a word of error that starts to come forth, there's just something down on the inside. I may not be able to dispute it. You may not be able to dispute it. But there's just something down on the inside. A warning from the Heavenly Father. That's just warning. No more different than as Brother Branham spoke about the cows and the animals could feel that there was coming a storm. And they got out of the way of trouble. God watches over his own. He's watching over and he is ever present. And he's a still small voice. But if you'll just listen, somewhere in there, there'll be a hint of, son, be careful. Daughter, watch out. Watch where you put your foot. And oh, I thank God for the baptism of the Holy Ghost and what it'll do in our lives and the joy it brings. But also the dedication that we see that it draws us to his word, that I don't come here because I'm made to. I don't go to church because I feel I have to be in service 5 nights a week or 2 nights a week or 1 night a week. But he said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. And any time I have that opportunity and that door's open and we have the can be here, oh, what a joy it ought to bring to us. And you know, as we were reflecting on that, sometimes as we get older, my parents even, you know, it's okay if we can't be here. We understand that. Everyone understands those things that's taking place. But God is looking at our hearts. And it don't matter, I might show up here every service and be on my bench, but if I'm sitting here with a grudge in my heart, I don't know why we have to have 3 services. God knows. He knows if he is your first love. He knows how much you really want to give to him. He knows when you reach in your pocket for your offering and you go to put it in a bag, it's like, oh, I can't believe I got to give that money one more time. He knows when you pay your tithes, if it's in your heart, I really wished I could keep that. God knows. It don't matter. We might do all kinds of things to show men a good sign. Might be let's take up an offering and watch the dollar bills come flying out. You go to churches sometimes, and God, if God's blessed them to do so, that's wonderful. But that little lady that dropped those 2 pennies in, she wasn't advertising church. She dropped in her little offering, but she gave the most. And oh my, that, I don't know where that came from, but just think about that. God is watching. He knows. We're not here to please men. We're not here to please crowds. We're here as an individual before God in everything we do, that our life would bring glory to his name. Yes. And when you're not thinking about it, when you may not even realize it, that's when somebody's watching that can truly say, I seen something there that they got that I don't have. May God give us the grace to truly yield ourselves to him in that manner. Oh my, I tell you, it's something, saints, to think about, a life expressed. Jesus didn't have to walk around with his chest stuck out telling everybody who he was. And even when Pilate asked him, he said, you say so? Just look at how the attitude of just meekness, temperance, and just letting God use him and take him where he needed to be. And oh my, his life expressing. Look at the disciples. Look at what all they went through. Look at Paul. All that, think of many times, that little lady following him, causing him and the other brother grief. And he could have turned around and cast that devil out. He knew he had the power. He knew God was with him. Yes. But he knew he had to wait till God told him it was time. Because there might have been a special purpose at that time for something else that was going. We look back now and can truly see Paul was under control of the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Yes. He was leading and guiding him. But you don't know, maybe something that wasn't recorded here, that situation brought to pass. God lets all things happen for a reason. Yes. Amen. This is in the Message. It is the rising of the sun. It's paragraph 61. Notice, the very message of the gospel itself is to prove to people that he is risen. Go tell my disciples that I am risen from the dead, and I'll meet with them to confirm this to them. O God, how in this last day there shall be light again across the earth, and I'll prove to my disciples. Go tell them that I'm not dead, and I'm not a tradition, but I'm a living Christ, and I'll meet them. Take this message to my disciples that I am risen from the dead, and the gospel good news. You say, is that right? Hebrews 13:8 said, he is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and we his beneficiaries are to prove his life is in us now. The beneficiaries of this life, the life that never was a life lived like it. He was the Son of God, and he died, and that shut it out. But when he raised again from the dead on Easter morning, then we, as his servants, are commissioned by him to go into all the world and to bring this good news to every person that he is living. And how can we do it? By word only? For it is written, the gospel came not by word only, but through the power and manifestation of the Holy Spirit to prove that he is alive. Now, if there is another gospel, as Paul spoke to one of the groups, I'm so surprised that you turn to another gospel, which there is no other but a make-believe gospel, to a denominational fiction turning from that good news. And because I live, ye shall live also. And I live in you, and the works that I do, John 14:12, the works that I do will identify myself in you. What a message. No wonder we've had a dark world of theology, but in the evening time there shall come light again. There will be a resurrection in the evening time, and it shall be light in the evening time. Now, the very essence of the message that was sent, that he has risen from the dead, we are his beneficiaries. We who share the resurrection with him draw benefits from this by proving to the world that he is alive. Amen. And we cannot do it by word only. We can't do it by some tradition of man. We only reflect exactly what we're pointing to. Yes. And I'm afraid today that too many of us are not getting people to Christ. We're getting them to church and to a theory. But we must get them to Christ. He is the only one that has life. He that has the Son has life. Yes. And if the life of a man that's dead be projected in you, you will live the same life he lived. Yes. If the blood of a man was a certain type and you took that blood from one man and changed the blood to one man and to another, he would absolutely be that type of blood. And if your spirit that's in you is reckoned dead, you are anointed with the life that was in Christ, is upon you. Romans 8:11 said, if the spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, it'll also quicken your mortal body. That same life, them same powers, them same beneficiaries that he had here on earth from God, he redeemed you, a seed that was foreknown by God, whose name was put on the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. And that gospel light of that resurrection, the confirmation of the word, how did we know he was the Christ? Because he proved what he talked about.
Yes.
How will I know the message of the hour? God proves what he promised, and he talks about it. That is the identification, and we are beneficiaries with him in the resurrection. He proves what he talked about. What he promised to do in Christ, he proved on the resurrection. What he promised to do in the days of Moses, he proved it. And what he promised in the days of Enoch, he proved it. And all the days of the apostles, he proved it. And now in this day, he proves what he said, because they are part of that seed that was represented in the book of life. And he came back to redeem back to God again. Oh, what a message.
Yes, amen.
And saints, we've got to see the reality of a life lived is worth more than 1,000 words spoken.
Yes,
you know, so many people in this message, they want their loved ones to come to Christ. They want so many people to see the message. They want them to see the word. They want them to understand. But they don't live every day what the word was projected for them. It might just be one little thing that we allow to slide. It might be one thing in our life that I don't toe the mark. And everyone around us, maybe be really close and maybe know what the prophet said. And they're watching, they're looking. But if they can't see a true identified life of Jesus Christ on display, all our testimonies for naught. And how we ought to cry out to God, Lord, reveal to me yourself greater. Let me yield myself to you as a living sacrifice greater. That, Lord, you would take my life totally over and I wouldn't move. I wouldn't speak. I wouldn't say anything, Lord, until I know for sure that's exactly what you want out of my life. Oh, that he would get the glory from it. But oh, there's such a cry in our hearts to see many saved, see so many come in, see so many recognize this message. But oh, can we truly be a people that's living what's being preached and what's being brought to us? Do people see it living in our lives? You know, sometimes we wonder why things are the way they are. Maybe we need to stop and take inventory ourselves. And it may be for here, maybe for someone that's listening, but sometimes you got to stop and check up. Where am I? What am I expressing? What am I letting, what life am I showing forth? Am I truly showing that I believe every word that's written in there? Or am I showing I believe half, but the other half is not anointed? I don't need that piece. God knows. And as each one of us as individuals, may we truly yield ourselves and get rid of our own ideas. Let ourselves go bound to Arabia and let the Holy Spirit truly just break us down and say, Lord, I maybe thought it was this way for a long, long time. But Lord, if your word is showing me this is the way it is, let me change my opinion and come subject to that precious word, Lord, that it would lead me in the paths of righteousness. Oh my, may we not ever lean upon, well, it's that way because so-and-so said it was that way. So-and-so said it's this way. No, God's word said it's this way. And by God's grace, I've seen it vindicate through my life. And that is the proof that it is right, right there. God will make his own word manifest. Amen. Amen. You sisters can come to the instruments. Pray you can take a little something from it. Amen. Amen. Just a little exhortation. But, you know, as you get to reading and the more you read, you find this quote and you find that quote. And boy, you can just go down all kinds of places. But, amen, it's all glorious. Yeah. But I pray that you know that the Holy Spirit can pull it together enough that you can get a picture of what we're trying to say. That we're just not wasting time. We're just not here to fill time. But each time we come in, Lord, if it's only one scripture that's meant for me, Lord, let me grab it with all that's in it and may it stir my heart greater to your word. Hallelujah. Let's stand if you would. I'd just like to sing that little chorus again. Just been on my heart. They were playing it before service and for he is Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. For he is Lord, yes, he is Lord, amen.
He has risen from the dead, and he is Lord. Every knee shall
should be the desire of every one of our hearts. You know, I was thinking about Brother Timothy as he was bringing one in the closing part of his message here. You know, as far as seeing our family, maybe loved ones, that you want to see them come in and give their heart to Christ and so forth, you know, there's only one thing guaranteed that'll work. If they have seed in them, the guaranteed thing that'll work is God expressing himself in you. It'll work. Being salty. Your own life being salty? Your personality being salty? Your own personality? No. The life of Jesus Christ on display. Amen. That'll cause them to want to drink. That'll make them get thirsty. You know, and they'll wonder, what is this you have? What is that, you know? But may we be salty. May we be a people that God can express himself through. I enjoyed that tonight. There's many, many things, you know, you can begin to think about could talk about and dwell on. It's just a lot of beautiful things. Everything in God's Word is beautiful, at least to me anyway. So I'm so thankful for God's Word. Let us bow our heads. Precious Heavenly Father, we truly are so thankful that you let us gather here this evening. And Father, to gather around the Word of God as we've kept the Scripture, that we forsook not to assemble ourselves, Lord, and we also came and exhorted one another, that, Lord, we could draw closer to you, and Father, anything that maybe we could find a short place in our life. And Lord, we're just so thankful for what you're doing in our hearts. There's just been such an urgency in our heart to fulfill the Word of God, to be surrendered and be that prisoner that you could have a vessel to use. Lord, help us, Father, and help us not to get in the way. And Lord, may we truly have the revelation of it. And Lord, we could just yield to you and let you express yourself through these tabernacles of flesh. And knowing again, as your prophet said, when you see that life come into the body, you know that rapture's at hand. And Lord, we're looking forward to that. And as I was talking to my wife this afternoon, Lord, I said, you know, the older we get, the more people we're going to see pass away. It's just nature. It's just the way it happens. And Lord, we know that each one of us, our day is coming if you don't come. If that rapture don't take place, somewhere or another, Lord, there's one of us that's going to pass. Maybe two, maybe three, maybe four. Only you know the number if you know the number of our days. So, Father, we pray that you'll help us to recognize what you're desiring in our hearts and lives, and give our life to it. And Lord, we can see this work finished through us. And Father, we can go home. We thank you now for your love, your mercy, your grace. We ask again for your guidance, your leadership, your hand of protection as we leave this little place. Keep us safe upon the highways. And Lord, our precious brother that has to drive so far in this kind of weather, I pray that you'll just watch over him and just touch him, Lord, to be able to be safe on the highways. We can all gather again, Lord, at the next time appointed. In the lovely name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we ask now all these things. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. May God richly bless you.